Here they are lying on my desk. Those standards I accepted without understanding. Here is the manner of her love for me, that love which I never believed but tried to spare. Here is the final product of the unearned. I thought that it was proper to commit injustice, so long as I would be the only one to suffer, but nothing can justify injustice. And this is the punishment for accepting as proper that hideous evil which is self-immolation. I thought that I would be the only victim. Instead, I've sacrificed the noblest woman to the vilest. When one acts on pity against justice, it is the good whom one punishes for the sake of the evil. When one saves the guilty from suffering, it is the innocent whom one forces to suffer. There is no escape from justice. Nothing can be unearned and unpaid for in the universe, neither in matter nor in spirit. And if the guilty do not pay, then the innocent have to pay it. It was not the cheap little looters of wealth who have beaten me. It was I. They did not disarm me. I threw away my weapon. This is a battle that cannot be fought except with clean hands, because the enemy's sole power is in the sores of one's conscience. And I accepted a code that made me regard the strength of my hands as a sin and a stain. Do we get the medal, Mr. Reardon? He looked from the gift certificate on his desk to the memory of the girl on the flat car. He asked himself whether he could deliver the radiant being he had seen in that moment to the looters of the mind and the thugs of the press. Could he continue to let the innocent bear punishment? Could he let her take the stand he should have taken? Could he now defy the enemy's code when the disgrace would be hers, not his? When the muck would be thrown at her, not at him? When she would have to fight, while he'd be spared? Could he let her existence be turned into a hell he would have no way of sharing? He sat still looking up at her. I love you, he said to the girl on the flat car, silently pronouncing the words that had been the meaning of that moment 4 years ago, feeling the solemn happiness that belonged with the words, even though this was how he had to say it to her for the first time. He looked down at the gift certificate. Dagny, he thought, you would not let me do it if you knew. You will hate me for it if you learn. But I cannot let you pay my debts. The fault was mine, and I will not shift to you the punishment which is mine to take. Even if I have nothing else now left to me, I have this much, that I see the truth, that I am free of their guilt, that I can now stand guiltless in my own eyes, that I know I am right, right fully and for the first time, and that I will remain faithful to the one commandment of my code which I have never broken, to be a man who pays his own way. I love you, he said to the girl on the flat car, feeling as if the light of that summer sun were touching his forehead, as if he too were standing under an open sky over an unobstructed earth, with nothing left to him except himself. Well, Mr. Reardon, are you going to sign? Asked Dr. Ferris. Reardon's eyes moved to him. He had forgotten that Ferris was there. He did not know whether Ferris had been speaking, arguing, or waiting in silence. Oh, that, said Reardon. He picked up a pen, and with no second glance, with the easy gesture of a millionaire signing a check, he signed his name at the foot of the Statue of Liberty and pushed the gift certificate across the desk.